Good golly, what a beautiful Monday here in Toronto. You know what the deal is. It's like 8:30 on a Monday night. It's been a beautiful day. Surely your whistle needs to be whetted. I will let you crack a beer while we sit back and listen to my friend, Rob Curry, and the Curry Brothers. Indeed, as always, Link Ray Gunn, our theme by the wonderful pride of Gravenhurst, Ontario, Curry Brothers. What a banger. In case I forget to mention at the end of the episode, the link to that song, it's in the description. You should buy that record. Hey, did you get outside today? I always love it on a Monday when I get to say that. It was just a cracker of a day out there. Tomorrow, looking a little soggy up here in Toronto, but today, whew, it was nice. Not going to lie. Oh! I forgot to turn my fridge off. Uno momento, por favor. Got it. I have a little switch, but I have to reach it with my foot. Requires some toe-based dexterity, which thankfully I'm in possession of. Hey, let's drink some beer, eh? I got a banger here. I have a buddy, friend of the podcast, Taylor. He borrowed a tool off me, and when he returned it, he dropped a couple of cans of beer and thanks. And this was one of them. This is Ghost Orchid IPA from Bellwoods Brewery. I got to be honest with you. I'm not even sure if I've ever had this before. I think I probably have at some point. I have no memory of it whatsoever. So I'm kind of excited. I'm just going to get into it. All I know about it is I know that it has Nelson Sauvin hops in it. Don't know anything else. That's all I know. Not even sure why I know that, but I do. So there it is. Get the pour for the kids at home. Kids, are you seeing this? Yeah, there we go. That is hazy. Hoo-wee. That is a good-looking IPA. As noted, hazy, yellow. Nice light, malt bill on that. Bit of a foamy old white head. Can't see through it if you're listening to the podcast. It's opaque. Oh, and it smells delightful. Yeah, like mandarin oranges. And white wine. Maybe a bit of gooseberry. And you remember last week when I didn't smell any lychee or lychee, as I have pronounced it ever since a chef of mine pronounced it that way? I get a little hint of lychee. Oh, maybe a little pineapple, too. It's a little bit like the beer last week. The beer last week, if you remember, had those fruits in it. This, I do not believe, has any fruits in it. I believe this is all off the hops. Oh, but yeah, it is just bright, tropical, fresh. It smells great. Speaking of fresh, does this have a date code on it? I wonder how fresh this beer Taylor gave me was. Oh, yeah. Just got to get the light the right way. Packaged March 11th, 24th. That's pretty good. It's like, well, it's like, it's like 5 weeks. 5 weeks isn't bad. That's pretty good for an IPA. I'll take it. I would have taken it anyway. I have taken it. I've poured it. But I'll take that. All right, let's give us up. Interesting. Delicious. More evergreen and piney on the palate, which I'm really just getting tropicals on the nose. Yeah, more piney and more white winey. Now, I say I know that it has Nelson Sauvin in it. Do I know that? I feel like I knew that. That could be corrupting my brain, because I know Nelson Sauvin hops have a tendency to taste a little bit like a Sauvignon Blanc from the North Island of New Zealand. That said, I definitely get that. That said, some of the tastes in that wine include like stone fruits, like peachiness, which I'm getting a little bit of. Gooseberry, which I mentioned on the aroma, which I'm definitely getting on the palate. You can even touch on pineapple, getting a little bit of pineapple too. But I'm also getting evergreen. Sort of dank evergreeny. My old walking through a evergreen forest, that kind of smell. Quite nice. And then, yeah, it's interesting. There is still citrusiness, some tangerine. It's less pronounced on the palate. Definitely, like I said, some of those white wine notes. Some pineapple, some mango. Hang on. And oats. It's got oats in it. Almost positive. This is one of the times where the body's quite nice and it is very hazy, but I can also taste oats. Almost positive about that. Super tasty. Again, pinier than I was expecting it to be. If I'm right that it has Nelson in it, it doesn't just have Nelson. It's pretty hard to make a beer with just Nelson hops, mainly due to cost and availability. Nelson hops, hard to come by. I'd been told a story. You know what? I've told the story on the podcast before. I'm going to tell that story in a minute once we've dealt with the beer. But it's possibly why Nelson Sauvin hops are so hard to come by. That said, I subsequently have asked the person who told me the story, and he claims he's never heard this before, except I actually have a recording of him saying it. Like, I have video. I'd have to find it. I don't delete anything. It's on my computer somewhere. The problem is I wouldn't have sensibly named that file. Anyway, I'll tell the Nelson Sauvin story in a minute. But first, let's finish this beer. Talking about it, I'm not going to neck it. I think I'm a crazy person here. My son's in the next room and he's listening to me podcasting. He found that funny. What are we talking about? Yeah. Finish, by the way. Dry and bitter, but not like aggressively. This is very much an East Coast. This is not a West Coast. I've been drinking a lot of Lone Pine. Funny enough, the story in question was from Sam Corbeil, and he makes Lone Pine. So that's just an interesting coincidence. Sorry, by the way, if I'm talking a little bit funny, my lip is really sore. I kind of got knocked around on Saturday in a rugby training drill, and I really cut up the inside of my mouth. Talking kind of hurts, so apologies if I'm extra mumbly or incoherent. I was saying, though, I've been drinking a lot of Lone Pine, which is very West Coast. This has very little perceived bitterness. It's quite nice. Lone Pine, which is aggressively bitter, also quite nice. Just nice in a different way. Very much an East Coast style. Oh, yeah. And, like, as the hop presence builds on my palate, if this doesn't have Nelson in it, I'm losing my mind. So white winey. So Nelson-y. Very, very nice. But very piney. I wonder, with the peachiness, too, which Nelson has, I wonder if they use Simcoe. This could be Nelson and Simcoe, which, by the way, more people should make IPAs with Nelson and Simcoe. Simcoe will spit some pine, but also peach, depending on how you use it. Can also get into grapefruit and citrusiness. Again, there is still some mandarin to this. Less than I smelt, but it's there. It's there. This is really, really tasty beer. Really, really well balanced, by the way. All of these fruit things that are happening are kind of happening in a gentle, subtle kind of way. It's not a subtle beer, but like nothing stands out. It's quite well balanced. I don't know what the hell they're doing outside my house, but it sounds like they're dragging a road plate down the road. This is an interesting one for food. There's a certain refined quality to this. What would you eat while drinking? I mean, a lot of things are probably going to go all right, but what would really excel? Be interested to try it with sort of a more fragrant, not as spicy, Thai soup. with some nice, beautiful seafood in it. Maybe some scallops and some shrimp and maybe some squid in a nice, very fragrant, little sour, little earthy, not too spicy broth. I think that'd go really well. I think a lot of the fragrant, fruity notes work really well with the seafood in that. And then the broth, it's broth. As long as it's herbal and not too spicy, it's probably going to go okay, especially when you factor in that pine note. That could be interesting. Now I kind of want Thai soup, although I just had dinner, and we had leftover Hakka Indian, and that was very good, too. I did not drink this with that. Probably nor would I. Lone Pine, on the other hand, I definitely would drink with that. I mean, I would drink this. It's not like there's rules about this stuff. It's my own personal taste. Yeah, a nice little fragrant Thai soup. Mm. Some rice noodles in there. With some fresh mint and Thai basil torn up and thrown in at the very end. Just to right up into your olfactory senses. Ugh, such an idiot. Oh, my brain's not great today. But anyway, that's what I would do. In terms of like cheese, yeah, something creamy, but nothing crazy. This beer is not calling for complexity. It's calling to be the star of the show. And on this show, it is. So peachy all of a sudden. I want to just keep drinking it. I want to look it up. Let's open up a tab here. Bellwoods Ghost. Yeah, that's the one. Ghost Orchid IPA. Ghost Orchid. Solid American IPA. That's what it says on Google. Am I over 19? Yes, I am. I do not want free shipping, but thank you, Bellwoods. I'm already subscribed to your newsletter, in fact. Ghost Orchid IPA. What do you do when something you love is in scarce supply? This, by the way, is Bellwood's words, not mine. When demand outweighs supply. Oh, I think I know what they're talking about here. Faced with the reality that we will never be able to acquire all the Nelson Sauvin ka-ching of our dreams, we decided to reserve the lion's share of our Nelson allotment for this magnificent IPA, Ghost Orchid. Well, there we go. There's definitely Nelson in here. Named after the highly coveted but endangered flower, this ode to one of the most unique hop varieties is about relishing a rarity. What did they say? They say, this aromatic and delicious beer is all about low bitterness. Agreed. Huge flavor. Agreed. With notes of mandarin orange, white grape, and pine. And there are oats in it. There's also wheat. Does not say if it has any Simcoe in it, but I think it does. Well, I wonder if the can says anything here. It's quite dark in here. No, the can doesn't say much. Just that it contains barley, wheat, and oats. Yep, no information on the can. I'm calling it. There's Simcoe in this beer. Prove me wrong. Come at me, bro. Come at me. Delicious, delicious stuff. Mm. Yeah, I could drink about six more of those. That's pretty tasty stuff. Love to have it on draft, too. Oh, that'd be nice. Carbonation on this, by the way. Very nice. Very gently carbonated. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, here's the deal. My face is actually hurting. I'm realizing I don't talk for prolonged periods a lot in my day-to-day. And my lip's really hurting. This might just be a short one. I'm gonna have another sip. See if the beer helps. I'd like to report in. It did not help. Oh, Crafty J says, gonna have to try this again. Tried it a while back. Found it underwhelming. But I've always trusted my opinions. Thanks. Hey, yeah, just on beer. Don't take my opinions on other things. Give it another go. Crafty J, here's my tip. Check your date codes. because this one is so aromatic, it's going to die quickly. So I checked mine probably before you got here. It's about 5 weeks old, and it's quite good. And I know, I know for a fact my friend who gave it to me lives near Bellwoods, but I don't think he does anymore. Maybe he's still in the West End. I've lost track. Just check your date codes. In this one, it was on the bottom of the can. It's actually in a spot that I bashed it up, but it was right on the bottom ring. Check your date codes. Always a good thing in general. This isn't just for Crafty Jay. This is for everyone listening. Don't hesitate to take the can out while you're buying it and look at the date code. And if it's too old, put it back. And if you... And like, okay, I was going to tell you to do something, and I want you to be careful with this one. If you pick an IPA up off a shelf, let's say you're at your local grocery store, and it's a brewery that you know locally and love, you know, not a mainline guy who you're going to send an email to a PR person, like, you know, it's a good small craft brewery. If you pick up an IPA off a shelf and you check the date code, and let's say the date code's like 8 weeks from production, that's still pretty fresh. That's 2 months. That's not terrible. Would it be better if it had just come off the canning line? Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially, again, we're talking about aromatic IPAs here, right? Not as important with lagers. Not as important with imperial stouts, okay? Whatever. But with aromatic IPAs, especially like this East Coast style, that's all they are, right? They're just aromatic. 8 weeks, that's fine. I still would say buy that beer. But if you don't want to, that's okay. And I understand that. Same with a pale ale. You want to be careful with pale ales too. Fresher, the better. And in fact, if there's, I do this, I confess. If I'm at, say, the LCBO and I'm buying some beers and they're double stacked, so there's a flat on top of a flat, a case on top of a case, and I look at the top one, I'll then look at the bottom one, because if the bottom one's newer, I'm buying those ones. Because I'm a bit of a brat that way. I need a sip of beer. My lip's really hurting. Crafty J says theirs was approaching the 10-week mark. Because they remembered. Good on you to check. Good on you to check. Who knows? And especially if you bought it at an LCBO and it wasn't refrigerated. That's another... Like, most LCBOs now have walk-in fridges. And that's great. A 10-week-old IPA from an unrefrigerated LCBO shelf, on the other hand, that's getting into the territory of, like, I might not buy that. What I was going to say is, so if you do that, it's 10 weeks old, it's 8 weeks old, you decide, oh, I don't want to buy it, that's fine, you don't have to buy it, no one cares. Not nobody cares, but, like, it's fine. Where you could be a good little beer scout is... If you go into, especially if it's an LCBO, but also a grocery store, but especially an LCBO, if you go in and you pick up a really beautiful, well-crafted aromatic IPA, and it's 6 months old, for one, don't buy it. And for two, feel free to email that brewery and say, hey, just a heads up, I was in the LCBO at wherever, whichever one it was, went to grab one of your IPAs. It was 6 months old. I decided not to. The brewery will maybe, they don't love it when that happens, but they will thank you because they don't want people buying that beer and drinking it. They don't want people to think that that's what their beer tastes like. So you're doing a good deed if you report in and say, hey, I found some pretty old stock. The exception to this, of course, is Flying Monkeys, who notoriously put out beers that are 2 years old. They won't care. But everybody else, for the most part, if you notify them, hey, I found some pretty old stock, that's helpful to them. Because they'll go and they'll get that back from the LCBO. Be like, no, we'll take that back. We'll give you fresh supply. We want people drinking our beer fresh. If you think about it, you know, Great Lakes, Left Field, they all put drink it fresh right on the can. P.S. If you haven't tried the Common Good Solus. Oh, Common Good Solus. I haven't tried it. I'll give a look and see if I can come by it. I don't get a lot of Common Good stuff. Sorry, I had a recommendation there. I kind of mumbled it out that Common Good Solus IPA is a winner. I don't get a lot of Common Good stuff because I don't see it where I buy beer. And I guess I could go up there. It's not really all that far, but I'm really lazy, and my world just gets smaller and smaller the older I get. And I predominantly like things in my house or things within walking distance of my house. In a perfect world, that's my perfect world. I can walk even better if I can do it barefoot everywhere I need to get. That'd be great. I'd like that a lot. That said, I will keep my eye out because I always like a suggestion. My big one, and I haven't seen it around as much recently, but man, that Two Loons IPA, whoo-wee, that is a good IPA. Just reading more comments there. Anyway, this is now actually approaching standard episode length. And yeah, my face hurts. What were we all saying? Okay, lessons learned today. Ghost Orchid IPA from Bellwoods. I like a lot. Lots of Nelson. Oh, I haven't told the story. Fudge. Okay, hang on. We're going to get through this together. Let's recap. My son finds me funny, still laughing in the next room. Ghost Orchid IPA from Bellwoods Brewery. Very tasty. Highly recommend. Tastes a lot of Nelson Sauvin hops. And I think Simcoe. But I haven't been able to prove that other than just through my palate. I think there's Simcoe in here. Could be wrong, but I think there's Simcoe. Peachy, white winey, citrusy, piney, which I thought I'd already said, but that just rhymes with white winey. It's really good. Really tasty. I like it a lot. I'm going to have another sip. We also learned that feel free to be really, really specific about how old you're willing to drink an aromatic IPA. The fresher, the better. You know, the fresher, the better, which is incidentally a good reason to have a good, healthy relationship with your very localist brewery, like the one you can walk to or ride your bike to or drive a very insignificant distance to get to, whatever the, just look on a map, type in breweries near me, and there's going to be one. If you live in the 416, there will be a brewery within about 2 kilometers of your house. I swear there will be. And figure out if they're a good one. Just because it's there doesn't mean it's great. But if they make a decent IPA, just buy it right from them. And figure out, like, get to know them well enough that you can be like, oh, when are you packaging IPA? And then just go in and buy a couple. Right then. Bottling day. Canning day. I'm such an old man. Nobody bottles beer anymore. We can beer. Yes, we can. Okay, quick recap. Nelson Sauvin hops. Why are they so hard to come by? Well, on the one hand, common sense would tell you, I believe it's an HBC hop. Does that make sense, though? It's so New Zealand. Maybe it's from New Zealand. But I believe it's a trademarked hop. So you have to pay a licensing fee to grow it. Like Citra, like Simcoe, funny enough, like a lot of them. Anytime you see a hop listed and it's got a TM after it, whoever grew it had to pay a licensing fee to grow that hop, which is a great racket to get in, by the way. If you breed a good looking hop and you can license it out and people want it, holy moly. Yeah, just print your own money, especially if it's a hop like Nelson Sauvin. It's crazy. Anyway, that is probably not the reason. The story I heard, and I heard it from Sam from Sawdust, and he claims he's never heard this story before, but I swear I've got him on film saying this. Gotta find that video. Told me a story. Actually, it might not have been film. It might have been audio. Anyway, I've got him recorded. I can still hear his voice. We were at an event, and it was loud. And anyway, he told me that apparently, and this was years ago, probably 10 years ago, that like 80% of the Nelson Sauvin, I was going to say grown in New Zealand, which is to say grown in the world, that's where it's from, was grown by one guy. He was a hop grower, and he had like acres of the stuff, had paid the license, whatever, and he was the guy. There were a couple other farms growing it, but he was growing all of the Nelson Sauvin in New Zealand, basically. and he was getting older. And this is part of the reason why I want to find the recording. I can't remember if there was a detail that I'm missing, if he was just a grouchy guy or if something happened that made him grouchy. But anyway, he was retiring. And rather than selling his farm intact, he burned the fields and destroyed all of his Nelsonsoven so that nobody else could have it. And because of that, the world's production of Nelsonsoven dropped intensely. And it became, through the laws of supply and demand, which hopefully you learned about at some point in an economics course, made it much more expensive and much harder to get. Because everybody loved it, but he grew it and he destroyed his entire farm. Again, I feel like I'm missing a part of the story. If somebody angered him or something. But anyway, he destroyed his fields. Apparently, that's the story. I gotta find that recording. When was it I would have recorded Sam at an event? I need an AI. If anyone's working on the leading edge of AI, I need an AI program that can scan and listen to the audio files on my computer for me and just flag every file that has the word Nelsonsoven in it. Because I bet that would drop me to, like, well, let's say a manageable number of files. Less than 100, which I could then manually check. And immediately, oh, that's not Sam. That's me talking. Get right. Until I find that audio clip of Sam telling the story about the destruction of Nelsonsoven and why we can't have nice things. Anyway, that's the story I heard. It could be apocryphal. He claims he's never heard the story before, so maybe it was a ghost. Maybe it wasn't Sam at all. Maybe it was a specter. Maybe I got a word, as the Krizzos like to say. It was prophetic. Maybe he hadn't burned his fields yet, but he has now. Hang on a sec. You know what I haven't done? I haven't asked the internet. Why is Nelsonsoven so hard to get? Well, in 2017, somebody said they're expensive because they're hard to get, period. They're not produced in huge quantity, and much of the crop goes to commercial. This is from a homebrewing forum. Oh, this could be something. Beer Advocate. Somebody asked, why aren't there more Nelson hop beers out there? No. No, just a lot of people saying that it's just they don't make a lot of it. Nothing here. Oh, and by the way, I do remember this. When Sam told me that story, he told me he'd heard it from the guy who was like the main hop importer at the time in Ontario. Anyway, no, don't know why. The internet doesn't know either. Man, imagine if I had like a hot take that nobody else knew. That'd be something. But how would we figure it out? What I would need would be for, like, the Serial podcast to decide for some reason they needed to find out why. Because that's the level of journalistic intensity I need. I need a millennial or a Z with an internet connection and a bottle of Adderall to find out for me. Anyway, I gotta go. My face hurts too much to talk. Hey, it's been... Oh, I just knocked my Instagram camera. Hi, guys. It's been a pleasure. It's been... Oh, and by the way, Crafty J says True History is making some solid beers. Just a cool non sequitur. Glad to hear that. True History. Have I had a True History beer? There are so many breweries I've never even had their beers because I'm an old man that does not go out much. And people stopped sending me beer in the mail a long time ago. As Ben Johnson often says on his competitive podcast, if anyone wants to send me beer, I will drink it. And I might feature it on the podcast. A podcast which has tens of dozens of listeners. So, like, the marketing value here is just limitless. Anyway, I gotta go. My lip hurts, and I'm tired, and I want to walk the dog and smoke a joint. So, that's the game plan, friends. Tell you what, I'm going to run, and I will be back. I'll be back next Monday. Why wouldn't I be? And we'll hang out and talk then, and I'll have a different beer. Maybe one that doesn't taste of multiple different types of citrus fruit. Just to change things up. You know? 2 weeks in a row with the word lychee in the podcast seems like one too many. That's some food for thought. You know what else is? Link Ray Gunn, our awesome theme by Rob Curry and the Curry Brothers. And I did say, in case I don't mention it now, but I'm going to mention it, the link to buy this record is in the description. And I swear, if you haven't yet, don't make me reach through your headphones and punch you in the side of the head, because it's a great record and everybody should be listening to it. So get it, all right? Hurry up. Here he is. Take it away, Rob.